This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here, covering things of interest around the Umpqua Valley. And a good time to talk about wine in the Umpqua. Allie Rogers, Executive Director of the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
So this is a kind of a special time for the local wineries and tasting rooms. Talk about what's going on this weekend.
Yeah, so it's a Thanksgiving open house weekend, which is a long-standing Oregon tradition in the wine industry, where all of the wineries open up their doors with special things like new wine releases, food and wine pairings, and there happen to be a lot of great deals out there as well.
Well, for a lot of people, I mean, it's a 4-day weekend, if not more. A lot of people took the whole week off. So people have visitors here. Maybe they're out shopping for Christmas. So there's a lot of reason to be getting out there, and it's a special time that has always really gotten attention, but you guys have really kind of ramped it up for the last couple of years.
Yeah, last year was kind of our intro, getting on track, and then this year we've got more wineries participating, and you know, people might have enjoyed some wine yesterday, but with this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so much going on, it's a great excuse to bring family and friends out, or after shopping, go relax with a glass of wine. A lot of special things coming up.
So give us some specifics about some of the things that are going on.
Yeah, so I'll do a quick rundown. At Abacella, we've got Thanksgiving-inspired food pairing. At Bradley Vineyards in Elkton, the whole Elkton area actually is having their Elkton Wine and Art Weekend. So that's going to be a fun place to be. Brandboard Vineyard and Winery up there as well. And then Haynes Creek also up in Elkton. They've got a vertical tasting. You know, we all know wine ages well. And it's a great excuse to try some older vintages.
Now, for somebody who isn't as acclimated, explain what a vertical tasting is.
Yeah, so it's super fun.
That doesn't mean you're laying down.
You're standing up still, but it's different years of wine. So it could be Cabernet Sauvignon or Pinot Noir, but you're going to taste the 2019, the 2020, and the 2021 vintage. So three different wines, three different years in a row.
Interesting. And that can always kind of gives you an idea of how the weather and how other conditions and maybe even the mood of the winemaker kind of changes it every year.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are at the mercy of Mother Nature. And unlike beer, which is meant to taste the same all the time every year, the vintages, we really can, you know, highlight unique things about the vintage and create unique wines that are awesome to pair back to back so you can compare and contrast.
All right, tell us about some of the others.
Yeah, so up there as well in Elkton, finish that off with Knoll Vineyards as tasting at Knoll Bistro, the former Tomaselli's. And then Lexem Wines is having a pop-up at Farm Pickens Mercantile. They're pouring some really highly rated wines. They've got 91 points on their Pinot, 94 points on their Gamay Noir, and then their Rosé also scored 90 points. So that's what's going on in Elkton for their Art and Wine Weekend.
And we should point out, too, Elkton has got its own AVA.
Yes, they do. They're what we call a sub-AVA of the Umpqua Valley. Yeah.
And again, why don't you explain an AVA?
So AVA, it's three letters, A-V-A, stands for American Viticultural Area. It's a federally designated area for growing grapes. And you have to apply for it with the federal government. And you basically say, this area is so unique because of the topography, because of the terroir, because of the climate, that it should be its own region. And then we get to put that on the bottle. So on the bottle of wine, you'll see Umpqua Valley AVA or Elkton, Oregon AVA.
All right, very good. So around not the rest of the area, what about what's happening?
Yeah, coming back closer to home here in Roseburg, we've got a Cooper Ridge Vineyard doing their annual wine and caramel pairing. Down at Freed Estate in Winston, they've got complimentary charcuterie and some really good deals on wines. Heading down there as well at Girardet Vineyards, they have no tasting fee this weekend, which is a great excuse to pop over there if you haven't been yet, and a few new wines they're releasing too. Then up at Nostman Family Winery, they're releasing their new 2023 Sauvignon Blanc, and they've got some Friday specials as well. And Joseph Jane is a great place for live music. On Sunday, they've got a Barely Local band playing, and then pizza as well. Melrose Vineyards, complimentary wine tasting there too, no tasting fees. And they've got also complimentary appetizers today and tomorrow. And then finishing off, we've got Russell Prayer Rock Vineyards has live music today and tomorrow. And they've got appetizers as well. And then up at Southern Oregon Wine Institute, that's our wine school up at Umpqua Community College, they have pet portraits going on. So you could bring your dog in to go wine tasting with you.
I don't believe the dog is able to taste the wine.
Probably not. That's a good idea. But they're doing a fundraiser where you can get a pet portrait along with tasting wines there. They'll have some discounts as well.
So a lot of things going on, and you've got all this up on your website, right?
Yeah. UmpquaValleyWineries.org has a complete listing of all the wineries and links to their locations, too.
And one of the things that comes along, especially if you've got people visiting here now or maybe later for Christmas or New Year's, is if they came a great distance, especially if they flew out here, there's some rules along the way. How does it work to ship wine elsewhere? What's the current rules on all that?
Yeah, so it kind of varies by state. But if you did want to send some wine to some family or friends that live, out of the area, you can do that directly at the winery. So instead of buying the wine and then trying to ship it yourself, which, is very hard to do, it's best just to go to the winery or check their website, see what gift packs they might have, and then have them ship the wine for you.
All right, and I know that's been kind of an evolving thing, and like you said, it does vary state to state, which makes it kind of complicated for winemakers, especially in some states that are not as wine-friendly.
Yeah, especially hard for the small wineries that are trying to determine, okay, where can I ship, where can I not? Oh, that changed since last year. Okay. So it's challenging.
All right. So with the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association, you really work at a lot of different events during the year. We'll talk more about one of these in a bit, but just kind of give us a highlight, though, about Greatest of the Grape real quick.
Yeah, so coming up in just a couple months, on Saturday, February 1st, will be, I think it's our 63rd annual Greatest of the Grape down at Seven Feathers Casino Resort.
All right, we'll talk more in a moment with Scott Kelly on Wine in the Umpqua and Inside Douglas County, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1243 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1245, Lars Larson coming up at 1. We'll talk about Safe Haven Maternity Home on Monday's Inside Douglas County. A Wine in the Umpqua featured today. Scott Kelly now in here from Paul O'Brien Winery. Scott, thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me, Kyle. Good to see you.
What a kind of dovetail. We were talking during the break about the shipping aspect for wine. It seems incredibly complex and puts a lot of roadblocks up for your industry sometimes.
Yeah, especially as Ali mentioned, for small businesses such as our own. At the end of Prohibition, federal government said alcohol is legal, but they threw all the rights back to the states. And so every state was able to make their own laws. And therefore, today, those laws have even gotten more complex. I was just telling you, Kyle, that I had to get fingerprinted to ship wine to my wine club members down in the state of Arizona. Just Arizona requires that for their permit. So permits vary, $1,000, $500, but we have to buy a permit in each state we want to ship to.
Wow. So that adds to your cost of doing business.
Yeah. And it's hard because we may have a wine club member or a visitor come into the winery, wants to join the wine club. They're in a particular state. But if they're one person, I have to sell a lot of wine if their state requires a permit, say, like I said, about $1,000 a year.
And the $1,000 would be you paying that, right?
Correct. And that allows me to ship wine directly to customers via UPS or FedEx.
So if you are obviously, let's say, a big California producer, that may be less of a roadblock, but for small Oregon producers, that really, boy, that'd be tough.
Yeah, and you pay the same rate no matter what size you are. And so if, you know, you have 1,000 wine club members in a state, that's a bit different than a small Oregon winery. And most Oregon wineries, I mean, there's about 1,000 wineries in Oregon, about 80% of them are less than 1,000 cases.
Wow. And is there anywhere where there's like all of this information? I mean, do you have to kind of really noodle around just to find it yourself?
Actually, we have an organization out of California called the Wine Institute.org, and they have every state's shipping laws, and we go by that, and that allows us to kind of navigate. Of course, then we have to contact the state and file and do all the paperwork, but it's all on that website.
And you mentioned as well, people maybe in the past, I'm not sure, you really can't just ship it yourself.
No, it's actually illegal for a consumer to ship if they just, you know, dropped off a package at UPS store and it contained wine. There is a chance it might get rejected. There are a few shippers, even here in Roseburg, that have a retail license to ship, and they can ship to, I think, 26 states.
Wow. Okay. Complicated stuff. So let's talk about for the Umpqua Valley. How did harvest look this year?
It was spectacular, Kyle. You know, we've had some challenges these last few years, whether it be, you know, extreme heat waves or early rains. Even the fires in 23 were a bit of a challenge. And this year we had a great even keel summer. It was a bit warm, but helped us ripen the fruit just beautifully. As we rolled into September, which is usually when we start harvest here in the Umpqua, we couldn't ask for anything better. Cool nights, warm days, and it really allowed us to leave the fruit on the vine and pick it at optimal ripeness without a lot of pressure. That's always what we're up against here in Oregon is it's not if it's going to rain, it's when it's going to rain in October, and that usually dictates when we finish. And of course, the rain's held off until November.
Well, and with the conversations I've had with other wine growers, because sometimes one particular property or one particular part of the county has been fine. Other people have had challenges, but it seems like everybody's pretty happy this year.
Yeah, and that goes for varieties, right? Some years, Pinot's better than Tempranillo, or the whites look better. This year, it's kind of consistent across the board. And I do make a bit of wine out of the Willamette Valley as well as a bit out of the Rogue. And I would say the Umpqua by far, I don't know why, because we kind of had the similar weather as the Willamette, or they had the similar weather as us. But I think the Umpqua just is stunning this year as I look through all the different barrel lots.
As an urban winery in downtown Roseburg, as people come through, what do you hear from visitors, people living out of town, maybe even out of state? What do they know about wine in this area?
Yeah, a little bit of I've heard of it, but I didn't know where it was, or a little bit of I've never heard of the Umpqua, and I didn't know you guys made wine here. So, it depends on the education of the customer, and we're here first and foremost to help educate the world. And, you know, my partner Dyson and I are out sharing the stories of the Umpqua Valley. We're now distributing our Umpqua Valley Pinot in 48 states, and so we're trying to spread the word as much as possible, because there really is nobody else spreading the word about Umpqua Valley wine and marketing tourism here in the Umpqua.
And do you get people that literally are just passing by and look and go, oh, there's a winery?
Yeah, actually, we do. We have our sign out there on I-5. We know there's about 40,000 people coming by Roseburg every day, so that's a good shingle to hang out. And we do get people stopping off on their way to, down from Seattle or up from the Bay Area. And wow, I didn't know there was a winery here. And so they'll pop in. It's a quarter mile off of I-5 right downtown Roseburg. And they're pretty surprised when they walk in and see this cool winery inside an old Chevy dealership.
So what do you think is the future for the local industry?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a slow progress of growth, and I think we'll see more investment here over time. But, you know, as with any industry, it takes time to grow, and I think the acknowledgement is there of what we can produce. I think we just have to continue to produce world-class wines and get them into the mouths of the gatekeepers.
A few years ago, there was an influx, it seemed to me anyway, of people buying property here to source grapes for elsewhere. That doesn't seem like it's necessarily continued at that same pace, though.
Well, and a little bit has to do with, I would say it's one of the nice things about the Umpqua is we don't have large expanses of land. What you're referring to is a lot of sort of the valley floor areas that you can be efficient and productive, whereas most of the vineyard sites here, and there are a ton of them, if you look around, are on the hillsides, and those are the best vineyard sites. Those are where the great wines of the world are going to come from. And so, you know, we always talk about planting up on the hillsides. And at Paul O'Brien, we only use dry farmed hillside vineyards. And that's where I see the future of the Umpqua Valley going. Because while the Willamette Valley actually has large expanses of grass seed farm that can be converted into high production vineyards, the Umpqua doesn't have that. We're very set with our topography in the hillsides.
And the number of wineries producers, what are we at right now?
I think we are at around 28 or 30. Yeah, something like that.
Wow. And so we've seen a big increase, backing even from the last decade.
Yeah, absolutely. And it continues to grow. There's I know of three new producers just in the past year that have either purchased a winery and brought it back to life or are starting from scratch. And so still some good investment. The barrier to entry here is fairly low. So a lot of people are able to come into the area and get started and start making wine and getting it out to the public.
And anytime I see articles from California about what land costs down there, I can't imagine trying to start now.
No, it's impossible. That's one of the reasons, I came up here was, the barrier to entry and being able to, start a winery, whereas California, the land prices it's inaccessible.
And how did you pick this area?
I picked it, basically with the idea that this has some of the most powerful nature. And my partner, Dyson, to be honest, I was heading to the Willamette to make Pinot Noir. I thought that was a given. And he taught me through showing me the wines he was making at the time, what was possible here and where the great gardens are in the Umpqua Valley and where we could be in the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And so I really bought into this idea that we're not just Pinot Noir. We have a diverse climate. We can grow great Tempranillo thanks to Abacella introducing Tempranillo here. Merlot is spectacular. Syrah. So it's kind of the cornucopia. Aromatic whites here are stunning. And so I've made a lot of wines in my career prior to coming to the Umpqua, and I didn't want to just get pigeonholed on making, four Pinot Noirs and a Pinot Gris.
Interesting. And just the climate here, or I guess all the different types of land, you go 5 miles and it's radically different.
Yeah, north to south, the rolling hills and the topography we have, depending on elevation aspect, are you north, south, east, west facing slopes, make a huge difference. And, we kind of call it the facets on a diamond, depending on what side of the hill you're on and what elevation determines what you can grow well there. And there are, as you drive around the Umpqua, it's not really a valley as much as it is the land of 100 valleys. And so we have the ability to grow so many different great wines here. It's a beautiful place to start a winery.
All right, we're going to pull Allie Rogers back in here for a moment to wrap things up and talk about the Greatest of the Grape event one more time. As you said, it's been going on for decades around here. Remind folks what's planned for this year.
Yeah, so Saturday, February 1st, next year, just a couple months away, at Seven Feathers Casino Resort. In the evening, we will be hosting the Greatest of the Grape with a silent auction, Wheel of Wine, which will be a benefit fundraiser for a local charity. And then one of the most fun things is customers get to vote for their favorite wine, and that wine is then crowned the greatest of the grape.
And how do people get tickets?
Tickets will be available shortly on our website, which is umpquavalleywineries.org, which is also where they can check out all of the Thanksgiving open house events happening this weekend.
And yeah, a long list of those. Did we miss any?
Paul O'Brien Winery, downtown Roseburg, is going to be releasing a couple of new wines this weekend. So definitely a place to check out.
And again, what's the website for the group?
UmpquaValleyWineries.org.
All right. Thanksgiving weekend wine in the Umpqua. Allie Rogers, Executive Director of the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association, and Scott Kelly from Paul O'Brien Winery. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks so much, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.